Again, Galatians chapter 5, again this morning as we continue our summer series in the fruit of the Spirit, summer fruit. I'd like to thank Keith and Bernice this morning for feeding me blueberries. This morning, if you ever go blueberry picking, you have to be very patient in order to fill your bucket because they're very small. I'm not sure how long it took you to pick these, but thank you for your patience. And there's only enough for a few of us, so you have to wait till you get home. Fruit of the Spirit. Oh, by the way, I see there are some openings for you to bring produce for the next few weeks, and so if you wanted to sign up, it'll save me having to go pick the blackberries outside here. But go ahead. You're welcome to do that. What's that? There's blueberries out there. Oh, we only have the little display in here. I wasn't out there even to... It's not broken. Very good. Thank you very much. That's why we hired you. All right. That's the kind of thing that I have. Okay. Blueberries available. I hadn't went back there to see them. And so that's to treat you folks later on. Here's my little sample for this morning. Thank you. What's on for next week? I think it's apricots. Does anybody like... Anyway, you can look later on. I'd also like to thank Diane, who had the idea of putting together some bookmarks with the fruit of the Spirit on it. And so she went to the office, and Jeremy produced the prototype, and she kind of put the pieces together. And so I think if you don't have one, they're available for pickup. They're on the table at the back, little fruit of the Spirit bookmarks, because there's a test coming. And we do want you to memorize this passage before we're through. Are we good so far? I think the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Okay, we were a third of the way through. And this morning, though, we move then to the fourth of the fruits that are listed for us, and that is patience. Patience. Moving on, let's talk about kindness. No, I will... This is maybe the... I don't like this one. I do like this one, but... Does anybody remember when I was a teenager? I think they've got a grander version of this game show now on television. At that time, it was called the $25,000 Pyramid, and Dick Clark was the host. Anybody remember that show? There's a few of you. And I think today there's a similar version, and it's called the $100,000 Pyramid. So they've upped the stakes, I think, in terms of winning. At the end of the contestant that has the most points gets to go to the pyramid, a triangle, and there's a number of boxes that pop up, and the person across has to give clues of things that pertain to the category that popped up. And then they have to go up the pyramid, and it starts easy and it gets harder. As just clues about that theme or that concept that relate to it so that the person can identify that. Well, let's play, in my situation here, probably the $10 pyramid, but what do these things have in common? A weekend waffle breakfast at Krausberry Farms. A passport application. Children. A medical procedure in Canada. A person who loves to talk. Hunting. And sometimes fishing. Rush hour traffic. A puzzle. They're all things that require patience. I confess that I am not a patient person. It's not one of my fortes. I think you could ask my family. I did not inherit that gene. I don't come from a line of patient people. My motto, I think, throughout life has been, there's got to be another way. If there's a long line at wherever I may be going, at McDonald's or something, I was not patient enough to stand there and wait. Tom Petty was right, the waiting is the hardest part, but that's for you who understand that song. Well, today we want to talk about the fourth fruit of the Spirit. Patience. The patience that sometimes you need to, when you're going out picking, I illustrated with blueberries, it's sometimes is a long task. If you're in a strawberry field and it's the end of the season, you're just kind of grazing. You just need a lot of patience. There's only one word for patience, in the English language that we commonly use. In the language of the first century, in first century Greek, in which our New Testaments were written, there are two words that were used for patience. The first, you could write it down if you want and impress your friends tomorrow, hupomone, H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, hupomone. It literally means to abide under or to endure. Generally was used with regards to situations or circumstances, this kind of patience. The patience you require in hardships and difficulties and trials. Patience. Interestingly enough, the word is never used of God. God is in control of all circumstances. He's not waiting for things to happen. That is a human kind of word, hupomone, patient in circumstances. That is not the word here in Galatians chapter 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, fourthly, patience. This is not hupomone, this is another word, macrothumia, M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. It's a compound word, macro, meaning long, thumia meaning to boil, to explode, to erupt. And so the word came to mean taking a long time to boil, or more commonly, long-tempered. The King James and New King James versions uses the word long-suffering. It's helpful to understand this word for patience. The second word that is used here is not so much about being patient in circumstances, but rather being patient with people. That's the word we want to talk about this morning. It's not the endurance in circumstances, and that's something else, but this is patience with people. The thing I don't like about this one is, how do you learn to be patient when people are just what you want them to be? No. The way we learn to be patient is when people are not what you want them to be. So if you want to pray for patience, be prepared for a difficult week. Anyways, let's talk about that this morning. Otherwise, translated as endurance or bearing with other people. I want to give you six characteristics or aids or keys this morning. As the Bible talks about patience and perhaps some helps and some keys to understanding what patience is and how to be more patient. Number one, want to be more patient? Remind yourself of the long-suffering of God. Remind yourself of the long-suffering of God. That's the place to begin when we talk about Christian patience toward other people. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Assuming that God is a patient God. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is a patient God. He's patient with us, with you and with me. He's very patient. If he wasn't, the world would have been destroyed a long time ago. I wouldn't have got, you know, past grade one, and that's the end of Ron, if I got my due reward. This is perhaps best seen in God's dealing with the people of Israel. Patience. You got to feel for Moses and these people, always complaining and bickering, and that's too hot, and I don't want her, and no meat, and on and on and on. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. This is after Moses smashes the first copy of the Ten Commandments. He's just, as they were have rebelled against God by their idolatry. And God responds in chapter 34. The Lord said to Moses, after Moses intercedes on behalf of the people, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first, which you broke. Be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds gaze upon that mountain, So Moses took two tablets of stone like the first, and he arose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed. This is the second time, right, that these tablets were given. The first time they busted them. What a mess it was down in the camp. The Lord proclaimed. The Lord, as he's identifying himself. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, the word there is chesed, faithfulness that he extends here to these people who are so, have been so rebellious. In Numbers chapter 14, we have another rebellion. They send out spies to the land, and 10 of the spies come back, and they got a bad report, and there's no way we can win this battle and take the land, and it's just a great negativity, and the people rebel against Moses. And then it says in chapter 14 and verse 17 of Numbers, Moses is pleading with God, and he says, "Please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, 'The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will no by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the first, third, and fourth generation.'" And then Moses pleads, based upon the mercy and the love and long suffering and patience of God. He says, "Please pardon the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now." In my study Bible, I have underlined after the people, just before the Red Sea and then after the Red Sea, all the times they complained and the people I like the old King James Version translation of it. They murmured. I think there's like 10 of them. One comedian said one time, you got to feel for Moses where you got 2 million people behind you going, "Aren't we there yet? Are we there yet?" Patience. If anyone has patience, it's God. Have you experienced the patience of God in your life? I have. You ever just do the same wrong thing over and over, and you wonder, "My, he is so patient." That doesn't mean there isn't justice and all those righteousness and all those things, you know, also that are there. But his long suffering is indeed quite incredible. These little peons of people he has made that rebel against him, this holy, perfect, wonderful, omniscient God. And he puts up, and he puts up. And as we read, why? He doesn't want us to perish. Patient. Psalm 86:15, "You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Aren't you glad about that? And how often, again, like Israel, do we mess up, defy him, sin, do the same thing over and over again? But he doesn't jump at us right away. He's perfectly patient, enduring things that we do. He does not have a quick temper. He bears with us, right? Suffers long. I can imagine sometimes God just gives a divine sigh. "Oh, Ron." But he withholds justice. Psalm 103. I'm setting the stage because if we can appreciate God's patience, I think it helps us with our own. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That phrase, slow to anger, is repeatedly used in the Old Testament. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Even though we didn't deserve it, he is patient. As the Father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he remembers our frame. He remembers that we are dust. It's a good thing to remember. And we talk about patience, is the patience of the Lord. Now, I'll tell us not to presume upon his patience, because it does have an end, and as it justly should, but that's not the first response of God. A former Indian evangelist by the name of Sadhu Sundar Singh said, and I quote, "God's patience is infinite. Men, like small kettles, boil quickly with wrath at the least wrong. Not so God. If God were as wrathful, the world would have been a heap of ruins long ago." And so, what does it mean to be patient? Well, how do we cultivate patience? Well, first of all, it means that I remind myself of the long suffering of God. It's a good thing to remember. Secondly, remind yourself of the long-suffering of God. Secondly, remember that you are not perfect yourself. Now, that may come as a shock to you, but patience is helped by reminding ourselves of this. Back in Psalm 103, we already read some of this. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it and it's gone. We're human. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy and chapter 1, verse 12. Paul writes, it's Paul. "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorant in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in him. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of all full acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life." Paul's a great example of the patience of God. This guy was around going about murdering Christians. But God was patient with him. The most grievous of his opponents, God was patient. I think the first thing we need to grasp if we're to reflect the Lord's patience is that he has extended his patience to us. Yes, he is patient, but he has also extended it now to us. I am not some trophy of grace. Well, I am in his sight, but not because of anything I have done. I'm as depraved as the next guy, just as guilty in need of grace is the Apostle Paul. I think often we are not patient as we ought to be because we fail to understand our own inadequacies. Do people sometimes have to be patient with me? Yeah, but they got way bigger problems. Depends who you talk to. I too need other people's patience. Because I too am a sinner. And I don't measure up, and I don't do what is right. I think sometimes the barrier to patience is our own pride. We think we're better. We wouldn't do that. Right? How could that person, just a minute. There, but for the grace of God, go I. And that person may have their struggles, but I have my struggles too. Often we react, why should I put up with that? Because you're a sinner. And people have to put up with you. It's a good reminder of who we are. Remember, Jesus talked about having the log in your eye and you're trying to remove the speck from your, why would I be patient? That may very well be the log, is your lack of understanding of yourself before you go poking out at other people's and being impatient with them. Correcting them. Remember that you are not perfect yourself. 3, reflect the peace which you have received. Reflect the peace which you have received. Patience comes from the inside out. Remember, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And it comes as a result of something that has happened within me. That has changed me. Yes, a realization of who we are, but something much deeper than that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Colossians 1, 11. May you be strengthened, it says, with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Now, this idea of having patience with joy, why should I be joyful that leads to patience? Well, it says here, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, which brings us great joy. And with this joy that we have in experiencing this peace with God, he now, it says, fills us with his strength to be like him, that we can exercise the patience that he has because we have peace in our own hearts. We're not all restless trying to make everything right and pointing fingers and making, that comes from a restless heart. But when we have been brought into a peaceful relationship with God, we are now made right with him. We have this peace inside, which opens the door to the power of God being exemplified in our lives. It says we're to have patience with joy. Those two fruit are connected. Again, because of forgiveness, I now have his peace. And his peace changes my reactions. It's a restless heart, a heart that's lacking peace, that is impatient and reactive and anger and critical. But a heart that's at peace suffers long. And it's not my power. It's the Lord's power in and through me as he has changed me. I think edginess is the result of inner conflict and turmoil, restlessness. Patience and impatience is a reflection of the state of our hearts. And that's why it's so important that we are plugged into Christ. We are aware of his sovereignty over all of what takes place in our lives. And who knows that he's not allowing you to have this person enter your life because he wants to produce patience in you, a character developer. And sometimes we fight that because we think that patience comes from having all the circumstances and all the people, right? Well, but patience really comes from the Lord. It's an inside-out kind of action. And he wants to develop that within us. And so he brings us challenges to develop our patience. Now, it's a very different way of looking at difficult people. But he's sovereign. He's looking after it. We're his kids, and sometimes he gives us some homework. Remember, fruit is independent of my circumstances. And patience, by definition, is only revealed and grows via trying people. That's not always the way I like it, right? If only that person were different, I'd be patient. Well, that's the very definition of patience. All right, reflect the peace which you have received. Fourthly, respond to others with toleration, not condemnation. And they're all linked. Respond to others with toleration, not condemnation. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This is how we're to walk, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. Patience not only means not reacting quickly, demanding justice, it goes one step further. It lets things go. Right? I'm impatient because I'm hanging on to it. It's bugging me. Oh, and by the way, it's bugging you. People bug you. Say, so, well, I don't want it to bother me. Yeah, they will bother you. There's people who bother me. That you can do nothing about that. This is the great virtue of patience. This recognizes that others err. And again, we don't have to pretend that they don't. They do. But I put up with it and don't react or spew or call it out or tell people off or get even. Usually it means holding the tongue. Patience. Now, there are times where we do need to confront things. We don't just, you know, just let things go forever and ever and ever and ever. There are times. But in a controlled, patient, loving manner. This is a high standard. First Corinthians 13, 4 and 7. 4 to 7 talks about love. What's the first mark of love? Love is patient. Probably the most difficult aspect of love is patience. And again, not circumstantial patience here. This is patience with people who just tick you off or just drive you around the bend. Patience. Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And that's what patience is, isn't it? It's ruling your spirit. It's self-control, which is another one coming, but this is one aspect of it. It doesn't demand justice and right or whatever those things are that we deem we should have it our way, but it's long on tolerance. Bible scholar from another generation said, patience is like good motor oil. It doesn't remove all the contaminants. It just puts them into suspension so they don't get into your works and seize them up. Patient people have, so to speak, a large crankcase. They can put a lot of irritants into suspension. That's good. Do you have a long, large crankcase? The greatest place, I think, or the most significant place where we see this is in terms of family life. Right. He has habits I don't particularly enjoy. Well, so do you. And maybe that's the greatest thing in terms of, we were at a wedding last night and my nephew was getting married and, you know, they're on top of the world and it's all, well, it doesn't take too long, right, before, patience is really helpful for a good marriage. Because we're not perfect. And so it's got a large crankcase. Because I got my habits and stuff too. Be careful about pointing out every flaw and annoyance and mistake. Some of that is more difficult for those of us who like to talk. Now bite it. Pray. Patience is the exercise of mercy. It's compassion. So we respond to others with toleration, not condemnation. 5, refuse to harbor resentment, but rather forgive. Refuse to harbor resentment, but rather forgive. This helps us with our patience. Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 13. Colossians 3, 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Then it goes on to describe it. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Patience not only means not reacting quickly, not always demanding justice or things that have to go my way. It goes a step further. As I've already said, it lets things go. It talks about in the definition of love that it keeps no record of wrongs, one of the translations says. It's hard to be patient if we're harboring things. It's not only an exercise of mercy, it's an exercise of grace. Mercy withholds judgment. It suffers long, but I think Christian patience is also not only merciful, it is gracious. It lets things go. And that helps us with our patience. It grants forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable about a man who's forgiven great things, but he will not forgive those who owe him just a little bit. He says, don't think that forgiveness is going to come that to that man. It is sometimes hard to let some things go and to be patient in difficult circumstances. But again, we need to remember the patience that God had with us. It's a high standard. Proverbs 9:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Are you harboring something perhaps today that needs to be let go? You know, I will not put up with that behavior. And we hold it against someone. You don't know what... Patience doesn't hold on to stuff. Patience is freeing. And again, it comes from a peaceful heart within. Finally, realize that the Lord will ultimately judge every action. Realize that the Lord will ultimately judge every action. I think that helps us with our patience. This isn't the end. This is just the process. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. James 5, 7 to 9. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Be patient. God will look after it. Leave it with him. Earlier in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it talks about not speaking against another brother. The one who speaks against his brother judges his brother. But there is only one lawgiver and judge, it says, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Leave it with him. Injustice, wrong, there will be. But we let God take care of that. The warning here is not to get all bent out of shape and thus be judged yourself for your own inappropriate reaction, right? Two wrongs don't make a right. Well, I have a right to be impatient. No, you don't. The warning here is not to get all bent out of shape and thus be judged yourself for what you have done wrong. Nothing slips by him. He'll deal with it. Until then, we are called to be as he is. Patient, long-suffering, most merciful. I'll leave you with a couple of wise lines from, first of all, Woodrow Kroll, former Bible teacher, who said, quite honestly, most people are quick to write someone off, but our God is a God of the second chance. Learn from one who is patient with you, and you'll learn to be patient with others. Then an early church leader, the bishop of the city of Rome, back in, I think, of the 5th century, Gregory the Great, said, hold patience in your hearts, my friends, and put it into action when the situation calls for it. Don't let any abusive word from your neighbor stir up hatred in you. You must bear with those who oppose you, but also love those you bear with. Seek an eternal reward in return for your temporal loss. It's a high standard. I got a long way to go. My prayer is, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. But it doesn't work that way. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word on what can be a very difficult trait sometimes. All the time. We can get irritated, we get annoyed, we don't like some people and what they do. No, we don't want to be tolerant of sin. But we do need to be patient with people. Speaking the right word at the right time, but not too quickly. And so, Lord, we thank you for what your word teaches with respect to this. And this week, I'm perhaps even hesitant to pray it, pray that you would develop our patience. Thank you that you want to conform us to the image of your Son, the one who has been most patient with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to conclude again this morning with a final song. Let's stand.